Can't relate or communicate with your teen? Welcome to Baffled with your hosts, Jason and Sam, who are here to help you understand your misunderstood teen. As teen educators and trainers, they understand what it is that is baffling you as a parent. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome back to Baffled. We have an amazing show for you guys today, but first, let's hit that quote of the episode, and it is this: if you want lasting influence in the world, influence your family. And that is by Bob Goff. Just think about that, Chris. The one person that we can control the most in the world is ourselves, right? And then who are probably the next people we can influence are those within our family or household, the ones that we are around the most, right? And so especially when it comes to your teenagers, if you want them to turn out certain ways, you want them to be influenced in certain ways, you have to be on influencing them, right? Because we all see it. What's out there influencing them most likely is not good. Usually teenagers like to go to the popular things or the things that are kind of go countercultural and go against what you've been telling them to behave and be nice and do all those things. So if you want to have that lasting influence, it starts with you, then it starts with your family. So just encouragement there is, as we deal with teenagers, that we kind of have to, you know, walk the walk as we talk the talk type of deal. And so that big influence comes from you to your family. All right, that is enough of me. I want to hop over to Jason and our special guest.
Well, thank you, Sam, for that introduction. Yes, I have a very special guest with me in the studio today. We have Pam Stenzel, who I've known for several years. In fact, the first time I've heard Pam speak, I took my youth group when I was a youth pastor to an event called the Choir of the Fire back in 2001. And there was a showcase of different speakers. And quite honestly, I don't remember any other speakers that were there. Maybe Josh McDowell, I don't remember. But Pam stood out because she was amazing. And her topic, of course, was sexual purity or abstinence back then. And she just nailed it. And it was just one of those things that made an impression in my life. And so we brought Pam in today to talk about who she is and what she did and where she's at now. So welcome, Pam, to the show. How are you?
Jason, it's good to be with you. And I got to drive here because I'm now a Tampa Bay resident.
That's right.
So I live in the area. It's been fun. I spent most of my adult life in Minnesota. And when my youngest went off to university, he said, "Hey, Mom, I'm going to Texas." He went to UT Austin. He goes, "I'm not coming back to Minnesota." I said, "Good, because your dad and I are moving to Florida." I have had enough of Siberia. So right. Yeah, now I'm living here in the Tampa Bay area.
Tampa Bay area, right? Yes, and we're based in Largo. I live in Clearwater, so we're neighbors.
Yeah, we're neighbors
for sure. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, like I said earlier, you know, I saw you at that conference, and you know, back then things were different, right? With you know, the whole abstinence movement, even going back to the '90s with purity culture and Josh Harris and all that. I wanted to bring you on today to just kind of talk about the history of abstinence education, where it was, and where we're at now, and just kind of give us a run through of that today.
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand this history because, especially, you know, I'm a grandma now, so it's kind of always interesting to think the parents who are listening were probably are my older children's age and are the ones who are parenting children now, and just to understand the history. So I started way back in the late 80s, just locally. I was running a pregnancy center, and in running this pregnancy center, I had to raise money, and I also did have a heart to be in front of students. I mean, we needed to get this information to them. And at that time, the public schools were completely closed to any discussion from, a faith setting or even any discussion of abstinence at all. It was solely, you know, birth control, condoms, all of that. And so I said, you know, can't deal with the public school. Let's go to the church. That's where if we can't get into the school, we need to go to the church. And part of my thinking was, if the church was raising up their children properly, their students, and informing them, then our students could be the one giving the right message in the public schools, right? Equip them, because we might not be able to get there, but they could. So that was my concept. And I would go to these youth pastors back in the late 80s, early 90s, and say, I would much rather see your teenager at church on Wednesday night than in my pregnancy clinic on Thursday morning. And back then, they're all like, oh, not our kids that go to church, though. They're making all the right choices. And I'm like, yeah. Well, yeah, no, it is your kids. But but even if that were the case, Jason, my thought was, don't they need to be equipped to be able to evangelize for, you know, sexual purity, by the way, for telling their friends, I'm not having sex, not just because, you know, I'm Baptist or Lutheran or Catholic or whatever, but because I want the best choice for my life, the healthiest choice. I want to have a marriage with fidelity, all of those reasons. So anyway, I started speaking in the churches. They started kind of letting me in. And you'll probably remember this through the 90s. There was the whole True Love Waits movement.
And I went through that.
And yeah, we did in Atlanta, we did Through the Roof, we called it, where we took as all these teenagers that signed a pledge to save sex for marriage, we stacked them, and it hit the floor of the dome at the time in Atlanta, the Superdome, what it was called, all the way through the roof. And the Newsboys were singing, and it was all very exciting. So that happened in the 90s. There was a lot of, and then in the process, we started saying, we need to be in the public schools. You know, we're really doing a good job of reaching the faith community. We got to be in the schools, got to be in the schools.
Yeah.
And started pushing, powers that be started pushing for abstinence education money. At the time, the entire sex ed pie was being held by CECAS, which is the Sex Information Education Council of the United States, and Planned Parenthood, basically. It's a proxy anyway. So basically, Planned Parenthood was doing it all. So we went in, and it took George W. Bush's administration to pass a law basically allocating 20% of 15 to 20% of this little pie for abstinence education. Well, immediately Planned Parenthood, because you know they can't have any less than 100%, that's just not okay with them. Immediately they came in and they said, no, we teach abstinence education too. So now we found ourselves not only battling just for a measly 20%, but battling the same giant for for what are we going to get, 1 or 2%? What we had to do is we had to go in and through George W. Bush's task force and through the Senate at the time, this would have been 2001, I believe, or 2002, we had to define abstinence education. They were called the A through H standards, that this is what abstinence education is. If you're going to call yourself abstinence education, it has to meet this standard. Well, what ended up happening is they tagged us as abstinence only. And your listeners now can kind of see politically what ended up happening. So the other side called themselves comprehensive, and we got tagged abstinence only. Now, we held on to grant money for about 8 years, and then when Obama took office, then they literally cut that entire abstinence grant out of the pie. So by about 2010, there was really no more federal money. There was some state funding here and there, but no more federal money for abstinence education. And we lost, we kind of lost the political battle. So a lot of the National Abstinence Education Association and people like that changed, got abstinence out of their name because it ended up kind of being a political nightmare. And so they became sexual risk avoidance. And to separate what we did from what they were doing, from what Planned Parenthood was doing, it was they were sexual risk reduction, and we were sexual risk avoidance. And so that's kind of the sandbox we played in for about a decade or so. And I think the sad thing is, for whatever reason, Jason, during that time, I would say from about 2010, 2012 maybe even, till about COVID, the church started not paying attention. It was almost as if they kind of felt like, well, the school's doing it. I mean, I don't know why our churches started to not pay as much attention to speaking to students about sexual purity and God's plan for sex for marriage and all of those things, but they did. And so we had a kind of reduction of our faith communities saying anything, and we were losing ground quickly in the public sector. And then after COVID, I think we all collectively lost our minds. And I used to say, you know, you and I, in the time that we were doing abstinence education or doing sexual risk avoidance education, we always had to be, you know, medically accurate. I know you cared about that. I cared about that. We, anything we would say, we would, this is the study, this is the research, and it came right from the CDC. Everything we said was accurate, right?
Mm-hmm.
We cared a lot about that. Well, all of a sudden now, the most controversial thing I'll say out loud is that men and women are different.
Mm-hmm.
That biology makes a difference. That women are more susceptible to STDs because of how they are biologically created.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become the controversy. And it's like, I just, we've lost our collective minds. And it's so sad because our public school systems have gone so far off to the, you know, and left end that we can't even function there anymore.
Yeah. And we obviously, as an organization, More to Life has experienced this. We're in the schools since 1999. And within the last couple years, I would say go back to 2015, we've had parents trying to get us out of the schools. And it was a fight with the district. And so from 2015 till now, as of 2022, they officially were able to pull that plug. And there's just no way back. We've tried several times to get back into schools, and they've faulted us on many different things and pretty much are, I mean, it feels like the end, but our focus now, of course, is private schools. In fact, even with the private schools, sometimes we're, like last week, Sam and I were out of school and we actually got to do an abstinence presentation. And I'm telling you, that's when I'm in the zone. I mean, that's that's my wheelhouse. That's where I feel like I shine the most because it's just so dear to my heart. But we don't get those opportunities all the time because even the private schools, they're shying away from it. They're afraid of helicopter parents or controversy or anything. So they'll just immediate no. And so,
yeah. And you know, we got to go back. It's almost like I'm going back to the way I was handling things back in 89, 90, you know, between, you know, that 90s decade. To the church going, it doesn't matter what the public school is doing or not doing. In fact, the reality is the public school is not the best place to be entrusting these kinds of conversations with your children anyway.
Mm.
Parents, it belongs to you first, right? I mean, the first person that should be passing values and faith down to your children is you, mom and dad. That's you first. But then secondarily, our churches and certainly our faith-based systems. And so the first message has to be, parents, you need to be involved and you need to talk about this with your kids. If you have a teenager and they haven't recently rolled their eyes at you and done the told me a million times thing, then you're not talking enough.
Right.
That's my gauge. Here comes a million and one, right? So parents, you need to be doing it. But your kids are part of, hopefully, if you're a part of a church family, your kids are part of a youth group, they need to be hearing the message properly from in that setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you send your kids to a private school, whether it's Catholic or Lutheran or evangelical or non-denominational, whatever it is, that school should be giving this important message.
Definitely.
And so, you know, And here's the other thing, Jason, you know this from having done this for so long. The one parent complains or goes a little bit crazy and screams and yells.
Yep.
And 99 parents thought it was the greatest thing ever and that's what they wanted their kids to hear.
Exactly.
And the administration are going to cow to the noisy one
squeaky wheel
parent. So parents, you have to go to your administration and say, this is what we want.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we want our kids to hear. And when the administration does the right thing, then you need to be loud and support that principal, administrator, superintendent, whoever it is that made the decision.
Wow, Pam, you're exactly right, because it is a cultural war. It is it's a spiritual battle, too. And to get this message out, just basically, your choices affect your future, and that we want the students to know that, but because of the district, because of the government, because whomever, it's becoming more and more difficult to do so. So is there any encouragement, like even though things seem maybe grim, what can we do to keep in the fight and to keep going and not give up in this battle?
Yeah, the first thing we have to remember when we care about students, especially teenagers, is that the generation is flipping all of the time, right? So if you decide to stop and do nothing for 4 years, you've lost an entire group of students who never heard a message that they needed to have heard, right? And so the first thing you have to understand when you're teaching students is that you've got to keep going and keep going and keep going and not just... And not have the attitude. I had one youth pastor say to me, well, we talked about sex once back during February for, you know, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, we've
got it taken care of. No, we've got to find ways to communicate these values and the importance of sexual integrity and purity and saving sex for marriage. We need to be having those conversations consistently. You know, MTV and TikTok, and they're going to be talking about sex today, even though they probably mentioned it yesterday. And I'm guessing they might mention it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So this concept that we don't have to talk about it, we do. We need to be talking about it, find creative ways to do that. And really, we want to equip not only parents, that's what we're doing, and youth pastors to have these conversations with their students.
That's right. Yeah. Start talking, keep talking. Yeah. I like what you said earlier about the eye roll, because I get that at home too, but sometimes I kind of back off, be like, okay, I don't want to over... But yeah, we got to keep talking a million times over. So
yeah.
Very good. So just in closing, if anyone wanted to find you, you know, maybe book you for speaking or just ask questions, where can they find you? Where is it? Social media, website? Give us that information.
Yeah, you can find me on social media. But if you go to PamStenzel.net, and my name is STENZEL. So PamStenzel.net, you'll have information there, and then that'll take you to some of the other ways to reach out to me.
Excellent. Well, awesome. So we'll go ahead and table it today, because I want to bring you back another time, because you've switched gears, and now you're more in the intervention than the prevention. So I'd like to learn more about that as when we come back together. So thank you, Pam, for coming today.
It was great.
And we'll continue it later. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next time on Baffled. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to Baffled, helping you understand your misunderstood teen. We hope you enjoyed the show today. For more inspiration and information, check out our website at m2l.org. Feel free to ask questions, call, or email us.